Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, April 28, 2024, Romans.
All right, before we get started, a couple of things. First of all, yesterday was Randy Frick's birthday. Ready? Happy birthday to you! I bet you've never heard singing like that before, have you? And you probably never want to hear singing like that again, you know. Another announcement. Last Thursday, I announced that Cliff Abbott had experienced complications from his recent open heart surgery. Well, the doctors did a bunch of MRI tests on his brain and on his arteries, and they discovered that everything was absolutely fine, perfect, and that what he was having was a series of mini strokes, which oftentimes goes along with this open heart surgery, and that they expect him to totally recover 100% from the current side effects and get back in here and be in class. So, Darlene and Ryan, thank you for your prayers. And Cliff was going in for this surgery and running those hurdles great. When all of these things, they thought, oh, he had a stroke, oh, he has a blood clot on the brain, and this and that. It became a test for Ryan and Darlene. They were running hurdles. They had more hurdles to run than Cliff did. He was just there smiling, having a great time, and Darlene and Ryan were running all these hurdles, but they did fantastic as well in running those hurdles. You know, when these things come into your life, and God's the one, he's the quarterback, he calls the play, and if he calls the play that something like this comes into your life, well, you, those of you who are been consistent and faithful here, you know God. You know this is, he knows all about you. He knew everything about you in eternity past. He's also provided for you every single thing you need. And you have learned God's word. You've learned, you've developed a love for God because you know the essence of God. You know the plan of God. You know the will of God. You know God's problem-solving devices. You know all of these things. And because you do, and you have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, when something like this comes into your life, you can thank God before you even see the solution. You can thank God for what he is going to do in your life. Sometimes what he's going to do is remove the issue. Other things that he might do is he'll keep it there, and it'll be a fantastic transfer from time to eternity. No matter what it is, God and his grace has provided for it from eternity past. So we can always say thank you. Thank you to God. Thank you to his grace. Thank you for his word. And in the short time while we're here, we have the privilege of glorifying God in our living phase of our life and glorifying God in the dying phase of our life. It's a privilege, it's an honor. And as you do that, why, you just look forward to what God has for you for all eternity. All eternity is winner believers that glorify God forever and ever and ever. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 7. Let's start at verse 4. In verse 4, we have the fruit, the children of our new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 5, we have the children of our first marriage, to the sin nature. Verse 4, therefore, my brethren, royal family, you also were made to die with reference to the Mosaic law, the marriage counselor of the first marriage, by means of the body of Christ, with the result that you might belong to, be married to, another of a different kind, the Lord Jesus Christ. To the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised up from the dead. For the purpose that we might bear fruit for God. In verse 4, we have the verb carpo phoreo. In verse 5, we have the verb carpo phoreo repeated, but one, the children of our new marriage to Christ. The next one, the children of our first marriage to the sin nature. In our new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, we produce the fruit of living the unique spiritual life that God has for us in the church age. And this includes the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, and self-control. That carpo phoreoing bearing of fruit also includes the result of growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attaining spiritual maturity, and having virtue, love, brought to completion in our heart. So you have the fruit of personal love for God the Father, that great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, that great functional virtue, which is has visible impact on the world, and occupation with Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart, and maximum divine good production in your life. Ephesians 2:10, 1 Corinthians 3:12 to 14. And this can only be accomplished by living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills, the filling of the Spirit, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, and executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart is the spiritual seed that is planted and brings forth the fruit that glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. So that's verse 4, the children of our new marriage. Verse 5, the children of our first marriage. Verse 5, for while we were in the flesh, that is, controlled by the sin nature, married to the sin nature, our first husband, from physical birth to salvation, the sinful passions, which by the law, the Mosaic law, as the marriage counselor of the first marriage, were at work in the members of our body, resulting in the production of fruit. This fruit, however, was associated with our spiritual death. So now in Romans 7:5, we have the children of our first marriage when we were unbelievers. From physical birth to the point of salvation, faith in Christ, we were married to the old sin nature, and the children of the first marriage included sin, human good, evil, lust, arrogance, hatred, arrogance from living in the cosmic system, cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. And the fruit of that first marriage was associated with spiritual death, thanatos, spiritual death. So we have, for while we were in the flesh, controlled by the sin nature, married to the sin nature, the first husband, from physical birth to salvation, the sinful passions, which by the law were at work in the members of our body, resulting in the production of fruit associated with spiritual death. The first marriage began when we were born, physical birth. And it continued all the way to regeneration, when we were born again through faith in Jesus Christ. The wife of the first marriage, well, the unbeliever. The husband of the first marriage, the sin nature. The marriage counselor of the first marriage, the Mosaic law. And this marriage produced children, sin, human good, evil, lust, arrogance, hatred. The marriage counselor, the Mosaic law, advised us as unbelievers that we had a bad marriage and that your children are not that great either. Romans 3:20, 1 Timothy 1:9 and 10. The old sin nature's trend towards sin is what is being emphasized here, because sin was solved at the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ solved the world's problem of sin by his salvation work on the cross. As the marriage counselor, the Mosaic law declares, you have a very bad marriage. The Mosaic law is not a promoter of that first marriage. The Mosaic law does not sanction that first marriage. The Mosaic law simply says you have a bad marriage. Codex number one, the commandments. And then it states the solution, codex number two. The Mosaic law is a perfect marriage counselor. The Mosaic law is from God, and therefore the Mosaic law is perfect. The Mosaic law demonstrates the problem and the solution. So the first marriage was all wrong. But the marriage counselor, the Mosaic law, is absolutely perfect. Now that brings us to Romans 7, verse 6. But now we have been released from the law. The Mosaic law is the marriage counselor of the first marriage. But now we have been released from the law. This is as a result of faith in Christ, salvation, by means of having been died to that by which we were bound. The baptism of the Spirit, identification with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, with the result that we might serve in the new way of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and absolutely not in the old way of the letter, the Mosaic law. So at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth, the royal family of God has a new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are under the authority of our new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the illustration of this is Ephesians. We ended with that last time. I want to start with it this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, 22 to 24. It's actually a passage that's dealing with the divine institution of marriage, a divine institution invented by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a great institution. And since Jesus Christ is the inventor of the divine institution of marriage, he's the expert on how it ought to operate. And when you, it demands virtue. The divine institution of marriage demands virtue on the part of the husband, demands virtue on the part of the wife. And when you fulfill those principles, you're home free. You're going to have a happy and successful marriage. Jesus Christ invented marriage to be phenomenal, fantastic. And yet today, for the most part, marriages crash and burn. It used to be it was just the unbeliever marriages that crashed and burned, but today believer marriages are crashing and burning just as fast as unbeliever marriages are crashing and burning. But why? Well, we've turned away from God and we've turned away from the Word of God. We've turned away from the one who invented marriage. He's the expert. You want to have a happy and successful marriage? Then you got to go to the one who invented it and find out what he has to say about it. And Ephesians 5, 22 and 24 gives us that. He starts out in verse 22 with a mandate to the wives. Wives. And the Greek word is hupotasso. Hupotasso is a military word. It means to subordinate yourself to the authority. And that's the word we have here. Wives, be subordinate to the authority of your husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church, hupotassos, is subordinate to the authority of Christ, are you listening to this? Now, as the church is subordinate to the authority of Christ, the new husband, so also wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. So we are now under the authority of our new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:22-24, and we should be under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in everything. In everything in our life. The policy of our new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. We receive our advice from our new marriage counselor, God the Holy Spirit. Through the filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number one, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, spiritual skill number two, God the Holy Spirit advises us through consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine by fulfilling the mandate to grow up spiritually in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that brings us to Romans 7, verses 7 to 25. Where we are going to be studying the problem that we still have the indwelling old sin nature with its lust patterns in our body. And we're going to be studying that in Romans 7, 7 to 25. But first of all, in Romans 7, 7 to 14, the Apostle Paul is going to take some time and take a look at our first marriage counselor, the Mosaic Law. Because there were a lot of believers in Rome that were saying the Mosaic Law is wrong, that the Mosaic Law is sinful. And so the Apostle Paul has to start out in Romans 7, 7 to 14 and correct that false teaching. So Romans 7, 7, what shall we say then? And this is the neuter of the interrogative pronoun tis. The neuter is T, and the inferential conjunction un, and the future active indicative of lego. Inferential conjunction un. By the way, that's pretty good. Wasn't that pretty good? I didn't draw it, but pretty good. Un, O-U-N. And un is an inferential conjunction denoting that what it introduces is the result of or an inference from what precedes. And therefore, it may be translated so or consequently or accordingly or then or therefore. And we'll translate it therefore. Therefore. The neuter of the interrogative pronoun tis is T, and that's translated what, and then the verb lego. This is the primary verb of communication, lego, and it means to say or to speak. And Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 225, tells us that this is a rhetorical transition formula. RTF. Rhetorical transition formula. And it should be correctly translated, therefore, what are we to say? Or therefore, what are we to conclude? Now, the Apostle Paul used this rhetorical transition formula again and again and again. In fact, he uses it seven times in the book of Romans. Romans 3, verse 5, Romans 4, verse 1, Romans 6, verse 1, Romans 7, verse 7, which is our verse, Romans 8, 31, Romans 9, 14, Romans 9, 30. So this is a rhetorical transition formula that the Apostle Paul used again and again and again. All right. One. There were some believers in Rome who were relating the Mosaic law to sin. There were some believers in Rome who were relating the Mosaic law to sin. They were totally wrong, totally out of line. What they were saying is false doctrine, it's blasphemy. Two, they believed there was something wrong with the Mosaic law. And there's nothing wrong with the Mosaic law, but they were insinuating. They believed there was something wrong with the Mosaic law, and they were telling other people there was something wrong with the Mosaic law. Three. They asserted that the Mosaic law has no place and no purpose in the plan of God. They asserted that the Mosaic law has no place and no purpose in the plan of God. Four. So, in our verse, Romans 7, verse 7, Paul is refuting the assertion that there is something wrong with the Mosaic law. So the corrected translation, therefore, what are we to say? What are we to conclude? Is the law sin? We have the nominative singular of nomos with the definite article plus the predicate nominative of hamartia. And by now, you've got this one down. Nomos. Literally, it means law. It's used in this passage for the Mosaic law. And hamartia, the word for sin. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Hamartia, the word for sin. Therefore, what are we to say? What are we to conclude? Is the Mosaic law sin? And then the Apostle Paul uses another phrase he likes very much. Meganoita. God forbid is how it's translated in the King James Version. The only problem with God forbid as the translation is that the word for God is theos, and there's no word theos here. Listen, meganoita. Did you hear theos? No, not there. So the King James was trying to say this very, very emphatic, so they threw in God, and they thought, that'll cover it. See, right there. Put God in there, and it covers everything. God forbid. No, meganoita, the negative me plus the aorist active optative of genomai. Now, meganoita. Let me put that out here so you can see it. Looks like that in the Greek. That's the negative me. This is the optative of genomai. In the optative, G-E-N-O-I-T-O. Meganoita. Meganoita. It's the strongest negative in the Greek. Now, if you just translate it, genomai means to come or become. If you translated this literally, it would be, let it not be so. That doesn't sound very emphatic, does it? Let it not be so now. So that's literally. Figuratively, it means emphatically not, definitely not, by no means, far from it, and then King James, God forbid. except there's no word God. Now, Pastor Thiem had another phrase for it. Hell no! You kind of get the point of that one, don't you? That's a good translation. Hell no! I just woke some of you up. You're having a nice sleep there, too. And then Megan Oita came along. Megan Oita emphatically denies the assertion that there is something wrong with the Mosaic Law. From physical birth to salvation, the sin nature is the husband of the unbeliever. So the sin nature is the first husband, the unbeliever is the wife, the Mosaic Law is the marriage counselor. At salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the new husband. The believer is the wife. God, the Holy Spirit, is now the marriage counselor. The divorce from the first marriage occurs through salvation, the baptism of the Spirit, identification with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth. And the new marriage occurred through faith in Jesus Christ, and the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth. So, one, there was definitely something wrong with the first husband. Definitely something wrong with the first husband, the sin nature. In fact, point two, in fact, everything is wrong with the sin nature. Everything is wrong with the sin nature, but nothing is wrong with the Mosaic Law. Who levels with us? Always love people that level with you. And the Mosaic Law levels with us. There's nothing wrong with the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law levels with us and says the human, with each one of us saying, you have a problem. You have a very bad marriage. Three, the Mosaic Law is perfect. The Mosaic Law is perfect. For the Mosaic Law is a gift from God. A gift from God. Five, the Mosaic Law is absolute truth. Six, the Mosaic Law is the expression of the essence of God. Who and what God is. His attributes. His virtue. His holiness. His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. The Mosaic Law is the expression of the essence of God. Seven. Therefore, to say that the Mosaic Law is sin is to say that God is sinful. That God made a mistake. But when you think that way and you say that, that's blasphemy. You are 100% totally wrong. So to say that the Mosaic Law is sin is to say that God is sinful. That God made a mistake. That God didn't know what he was doing. But such thinking is blasphemy and totally wrong. Eight. Adam's original sin in the garden is the origin of the sin nature. Adam's original sin in the garden is the origin of the sin nature. Nine, God is not the originator of the sin nature. God is not the originator of the sin nature. 10. God is the originator of the Mosaic Law. God is the originator of the Mosaic Law that reveals the existence of the sin nature. God is the originator of the Mosaic Law that reveals the existence of the sin nature. Eleven, the Mosaic Law tells the unbeliever that he has a very bad marriage to the sin nature, the ruler of human life. At physical birth, we come into the world physically alive and spiritually dead. The old sin nature is the ruler of human life from physical birth to salvation. So the Mosaic Law tells the unbeliever he has a very bad marriage to the sin nature, the ruler of human life. So far, our verse says, therefore, what are we to say? What are we to conclude? Is the law sin? Meganoita! Emphatically not. And then the King James says, nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. This is the conjunction a law plus the aorist active indicative of gnosko with the objective negative uk, plus the accusative singular of hamartia with the definite article, plus the conditional particle ae with the negative me, plus the prepositional phrase dia, plus the genitive singular of namas. So we had meganoita followed by Allah. And that's not Allah, that's Allah. A-L-L-A, strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. When it follows the strongest negative in the Greek, meganoita, as it does in our verse, then it establishes the strongest of contrast. It's correctly translated, on the contrary. But it contrasts what the Mosaic Law is not with what the Mosaic Law is. And then gnosko. G-I-N long O-S-K long O. Gnosko. One. Gnosko is the verb that means to know or to come to know, to understand, to be cognizant of something, to understand something. To know, to come to know, to understand something, to be cognizant of something. Two, with the objective negative uk, the Apostle Paul says, I did not know. I did not understand. I was not cognizant of this truth. Three. In other words, there is a period of ignorance about a very important truth in the Word of God. Namely, here, that the sin nature lives inside of each one of us with its lust patterns. There is a period of ignorance. All of us go through that period of ignorance. The sad thing is, some of you stay in it for a long, long, long time. There is a period of ignorance about a very important truth revealed in God's Word. And here that truth is that the sin nature lives inside of each one of us with its lust patterns. So a principle, point four, all of us have gone through a period of ignorance of the Word of God. Ignorance of Bible doctrine. Ignorance of various truths in the Word of God. All of us have. You have to start out with, when you believe in Christ, you're starting out with zero. And so you're ignorant of everything the Word of God says. And then if you are positive and you want to know God and the Word of God, God will guide you. He will guide you to where you can be fed the truth of the Word of God, the God-breathed Scriptures. And when He guides you there, then with your positive volition and humility, you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And as you do that, you're learning truth, you're learning truth, you're learning truth. And it's dispelling all that ignorance. You're learning about the grace of God. You're learning doctrinal truth, doctrinal orientation. And you learn more truth and more truth and more truth and more truth. And it's removing the ignorance, and now you know. So all of us have gone through a period of ignorance of Bible doctrine. Five. Sometime after salvation, faith in Christ, we learn some Bible doctrine and discover that we have a sin nature with its lust patterns still living inside our members, our body. Sometime after salvation, faith in Christ, we learn some Bible doctrine and discover and understand, hey, we have an old sin nature living in our members with its lust patterns. The aorist tense is a constative aorist. It covers that period of ignorance concerning the sin nature with its lust patterns in its entirety. The active voice, the Apostle Paul. Now here is maybe the greatest genius of all time. He had periods of ignorance about the Word of God. Now, if the Apostle Paul, the greatest genius of all time, had went through periods of ignorance, guess what? We haven't got a chance. We all have gone through periods of ignorance of the Word of God. The active voice, the Apostle Paul, the greatest human genius of all time, performed the action of going through this period of ignorance. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact. This is reality. This is absolute truth. Hamartia in the singular is the sin nature with its lust patterns. The conditional particle ae with the negative after the negative is correctly translated except. So a with may, you translate that a may is except. And then the preposition dia, plus the genitive singular of namas, dia plus the genitive by means of the Mosaic Law, through the Mosaic Law. So, corrected translation now so far. Therefore, what are we to say? What are we to conclude? Is the Mosaic Law sin? Meganoita, emphatically not. On the contrary, I would not have come to know about the sin nature, understand the sin nature, except through the law, except by means of the Mosaic Law. All right? Well, need to calm down. We'll take a break. And pick up at this point in part 2.